Your walk with the Lord, your experience with the Lord, the blessing you walk in, it's what you press for. God makes a move, and then it's your turn. And if you don't make a move, nothing happens next. Praise the Lord. But even this morning, as the song stops, we keep going. That's pressing. Expressing your heart, saying some things, shout a little bit, all of that, that's pressing. And by nature and personality, I am not that sort of a guy. I would just be content to just be quiet and consider carefully all the words that are preached, right? That would be my nature. But I also know that to receive from the Lord is very important to press. He responds to faith. He responds to thanksgiving and praise. I'll show you in the message, he always moves first, but the next one's yours. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And I'm glad to be a part of a church where people will press a little bit. Helps me. And it should help you a lot as well. So you pressed enough to be here this morning, right? Praise God. And I'm grateful that you are here, and the Lord will meet you and bless you for getting yourself up, getting yourself dressed, and being here. So we'll just believe God together. Let's pray. Father, we just bless you and thank you for, even as you've already begun, impartations, as we respond to you, you respond again. And we believe that we receive today good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, spiritual food, help in our lives, light, illumination, and revelation. We thank you for the outpouring of your love upon us today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise
Hallelujah.
God. There
Hallelujah.
You go.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, it was Thanksgiving week. Did you give thanks well? By the way, a lot of people criticize things they don't understand. You know that Paul wrote to us that he who prays in an unknown tongue gives thanks well. How many know that Paul said that? Paul wrote that. There you go. Yeah. Next time somebody says, I don't get all that tongue stuff. Oh, well, I'm just giving thanks to God. Amen. How about some word of God this morning? Remember, the Lord's Prayer does say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we should well understand kingdom principles, and we believers should attempt not only to live, not attempt, we should live according to those principles here, but it would also be reflected in our society and culture, how we play our part as citizens to move our nation should show kingdom principle guides us. And understanding current events always requires an understanding of the past, because nothing's new under the sun. Everything that can happen has happened before. And we can see how it turned out in previous times and how it tends to go again. So that was the last couple of weeks. Before that, we were talking about the compassion of the Lord. You remember that? God is good. God is compassionate. And I want to remind you, and we're going to go today from there to a logical next step. Once you have an understanding of the goodness of God, the compassion of God, particularly we were looking at Jesus moved with compassion, how he would minister to and heal the sick. Truthfully, it was the compassion of God the Father that sent Jesus in the first place. And it's the compassion of the Lord, it's the goodness of God that sent a Savior that would bring us hope and eternal life. He redeemed us back again to himself. We were at Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9. In verse 8 it says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the mercy of God, because so many times, if not for the mercy of God, where would I be? It goes on in verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Well, every person that's ever lived, or is living, or is yet to live, is one of his works. And his tender mercies are over his works. The only comparison that seems to to be appropriate here is how a parent may love on and care for a child because they're their child. But even that comes so far short of, we are God's creation, we are His works, and He loves what He has created. So His tender mercies are upon us. Sometimes when raising children and children don't know any better and they do something wrong, it's almost endearing to you from time to time after the frustration's gone. Like this week I got a video from my son in Louisiana where his third child, a little boy just a few months old now, he's standing at a kitchen cabinet with a door pulled open, reaching inside and pulling out measuring cups one by one and throwing them on the floor, right? And he didn't send me that because, what should I do, Dad? I need to punish this kid for doing wrong. He sent me that because it's endearing. You go, oh, that's so cute. And you're just ready to pick up the cups and put them back, right? Because the little child doesn't know any better. So there are times when you and I are throwing things on the floor, making a mess, and God says, aw, isn't that cute? Maybe, to a point, right? But His mercies are over all His works, and you are His works. I am so glad He's merciful and compassionate and good to all, and His tender mercies are over me. I know different people have a lot of different views about God. Some see Him as a punisher. Some see Him as vindictive. Holy, yes, holy. But some think that His holiness means that He's at every moment ready to squash you when you don't behave yourself just right, right? But that's not how He is. He truly is holy, but He cleans us up so we can be in His holiness. Amen. It says it this way, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Title of the message, and we'll get into this today, is God Sent His Word. And the point being that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God moves first. And what He did, among other things, is send His Word. Now, speaking of Jesus, we know from John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it talks about Jesus is the Word being sent. So God makes the first move, and in His goodness and in His compassion, even when we're in poor shape and in bad condition, He moves first. I like that. I'm glad about that, right? Because there's a lot of times I don't know what to do, and if God will move first, then there's a path, there's a way. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. By the way, did you know sometimes you got to talk to yourself? Just when you're feeling cruddy and it's time to speak up and to speak to yourself and to speak to your soul and start blessing the Lord. And tell yourself what you think. Tell yourself what you feel. Tell yourself what you're going to do. Amen. When someone asks you how you feel, that's a dangerous place to really consider. Well, I feel like tearing somebody's head off, right? Well, I better change that. I better say something different. Amen. So we have the ability, regardless of what we feel, to declare and to pursue an action otherwise. And David was a great example of this, and here we are in the Psalms, and He asked himself in another place, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. So already here, we're seeing where David says to himself, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. When you're in the middle of need, and you're feeling the pinch, and you're feeling the pain, sometimes it's hard to remember the benefits because you're focused right then on what you're suffering. And one of the darkest days in recent times when it seemed like so much was against me in terms of Pastor Sandy's health. We had a storm, not last summer, the summer before, and trees were down in my yard across the driveway. We couldn't drive in and out, and I lost the best tree I have on the place. It knocked down the power lines, and we were without power, and it was hot, And we're trying to keep Pastor Sandy cool, and so running a generator, and it only ran so long. It couldn't run the air conditioning, but it could run a fan or two, you know, small generator. And so I'm getting up in the night to turn Pastor Sandy, because she'll get bed sores if you don't get up and turn her body position. And I'm getting up to go put gas in the generator, and hot. I wasn't sleeping good. Let's just say it was a miserable time. So I talked a few days after that with Pastor Webb, my pastor. I was just miserable through those days, and I just wanted to call somebody, please make me feel better. But I thought, no, I need to lock into the Lord being my encouragement and so on. But some days afterwards, and what I told him at that point in time, I says, now, I'm not talking suicide, nothing like that. I'm just saying, I'm not enjoying my life right now. You ever been there? And that's when it's hard to remember his benefits. Because you know what you're going through and how uncomfortable you are at that time. It happens to all of us. For some folks, it's something really, really, really big to think in the natural. To others, it's relatively minor stuff. And by the way, I've noticed this. Some people, through their strength and their walk with the Lord, go through really big stuff, and they come through, and others, minor little stuff, and it's got them totally in disarray, and they just lose their minds over little things. So, you know, no matter what's happening, somebody else has got it worse. Yes. Something to keep in mind. So you rejoice for where you are and what you have, right? At that time when I was really not enjoying my life, I was healthy. My arms and legs are working. I can still keep working. So don't forget his benefits. Verse 3, it says, who forgives all your iniquities. How many want to thank God for that? Yeah. Whew, that's a good one. And then next it says, who heals all your diseases. Some of the healing we need from time to time is not disease-related, it's injury. Injury-related. You know, if you're in a car accident, that wasn't a disease, that was an injury. And I just can't think of anything in the scriptures that would separate, well, now he doesn't heal all your injuries, just your diseases. So I think we can clearly understand that to be, if you're in need of healing in your body, whether it be injury or disease, either one is all the same. Amen. And for my wife, for Pastor Sandy, it is injury. Brain aneurysm is a bursting, it's an injury, follows that a stroke happens, so that's all injury, that's not a disease. And it's not even a vascular disease or anything like that, like you think heart attack and a conventional stroke, you know, where blood vessels constrict. It's not that. It's just something that's not diet, not age, not heredity. It's just, and it's an injury. And most people have, or a lot of people have brain aneurysms and they never burst, and then there's never a problem. But anyway, so injury. Let's include injury in this as well. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's keep reading because there's more good stuff. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Well, there's your injury. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Now, I think that's applied generally, but it even could be eat some good food, not just the cheap stuff. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. See, one of the benefits of the Lord is that he'll even keep you young. He'll even keep you. You can express and walk in faith for your youth to be renewed. Amen? I need to be believing for that myself. Praise God. Although I am running into people younger than I, and to watch them walk, talk, and what they can do in their bodies. Oh, my body's not as young as it used to be. Well, mine's not either, and I've noticed a difference, yet they're old, and I'm not old yet. Praise the Lord. So, just mentioning here again, his compassion is why his tender mercies are on all his works, is why his benefits should not be forgotten, and his compassion is why he heals all of our diseases. How many diseases? All. We rank diseases as to which are worse than others, and there may be some differences, but some things people consider just flat deadly? How many have gasped when they've heard the word cancer? And then there's different kinds. Some are fast moving in the natural, so to speak, and all that. But there's no exclusion in the word. There are things that science calls incurable, but they're not. So heals all your diseases. So it doesn't matter what somebody might have. If they'll follow God, there's a healing available to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to begin moving towards, well, how does that mercy extend to us? How does that compassion come to us? Or said another way, how do I get some? Are you interested in that? How do you get some of that tender mercy? How do you get some of that healing for all diseases? And even if you don't need it for yourself now, one day you might. We suddenly had a turn in the road in our lives that we did not expect. One moment, your life looks like this, and the next moment, it's something completely different. And there you are. And so you need to know, how do I walk forward from here? So how do we cooperate with God and His compassion that we might have all diseases or injuries healed? Go with me to Psalm 107 and verse 20, please. I suppose this works for everybody the same way, but it seems like once the Lord shines some light in an area for me, gives revelation in an area, you see something, then as you're reading through the Scriptures, you see it again and again. Oh, there it is again. Look, there it is again. And oh my goodness, this is everywhere in the Scriptures. And how did I not see this? And I think that's what it is to grow and mature as a disciple of Christ. If you'll apply yourself, you'll get more and more light on a thing. And pretty soon, you know, you're just like, I don't know why I ever thought different. It was always there. And it's conclusive. I'm not even tempted to think otherwise. You know, in Mark 11, where it says, whosoever shall say to the mountain and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Right? Well, it's not just in the saying to the mountain. It's also not having doubt in your heart. And there are things where I've grown in the Word and going over it and seeing it again, and the Lord giving me a little light and illumination, and I see it again and again. You get to a point where you can't even doubt. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is there an area you've grown in the Lord where you're just like, no, I try to doubt it and I can't? Because I know what He said. And I know who He is, and I know how faithful He is. Psalm 107:20, it says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Their injuries, yes. I think you'd say injury is there in destructions. A car accident's a destruction. Can wreck a car, or in Marcus's case, a semi-tractor. He was showing me pictures this morning back there, how the Lord delivered him out of a truck that's pretty much destroyed. He was unhurt. He delivers us from destruction. So even if one is injured, you're delivered from that destruction. So this verse tells us how God does it. He sends a word. And we have the benefit of having the Word of God written down, and we understand it to be God's Word. We have it in our hands, in our laps, even up on a screen. So we have it, but He sent it. And you could go back in history and come to a point, let's just go way back to Adam. God sent word to Adam, but it wasn't in writing for him, but it was sent. So this is how the compassion of the Lord and His mercy heals and delivers. If you want to know how God does things, He sends a word. That's how God works. He sends a word. In fact, it's not only how He heals, it's how He does everything. If you'll think back to Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And then the verses following go through a series of, and God said, let there be light. And it was so. And God said, let the dry land separate from the waters, and so on. you'll recall those things. But in every case, before it materialized, God spoke a word. God sent a word. And they say that seems to be well understood among scientists. And of course, scientists are nothing but people who apply a discipline of measurement, or at least they used to. Something needs to be measurable and repeatable, or it's not science. And theories are formed. The theories are not the science. The science is what's actually measured. And so they say that all of the universe, as we understand it and know it, started as a big bang, started from a single point, and it is measurable that the universe continues to expand. And so they can kind of determine by the direction. I think, you know, watching fireworks is a good explanation. It explodes and you see the colors go out from a central point. So that's Big Bang, that all material came from that central point. They have a term for it that they use, or some of them use. They call it a singularity, or the singularity, that at one point in time before the universe, the planets, everything in material world existed, it was all there in a single point. You've heard how big stars are, how big the sun is, and all that kind of stuff. And then the bigger they are, the greater the gravitational pull. And as you go down to the core, the density gets more and more and more and more. Truth be told, something solid like our bodies are not so solid. X-rays can pass right through you because there's lots of space in your body. And other kinds of rays and even particles. One of the reasons the sunlight does damage to our bodies, radiation does damage to our bodies, is because as it passes through, if it strikes something, it does damage to that cell. But it goes through us. And there are other rays that go through us. There's a particular ray that comes from space that they wanted to measure. I forget what it's called. But to measure it, they had to dig deep in the earth and put detectors down there underground. And it passes through a lot of rock and dirt to get down to their detectors. And then it's measurable to them. Well, I thought the rock is solid. Oh, no. There's space. So you have to think of everything that's in the known universe and beyond, all was in one point, at one point in time. And some of the science people say, you know, it wasn't even the size of a head of a pin, and it all radiated from there. So God does everything he does. God creates everything he's created by sending a word. Or we could say it this way, by speaking a word. So Big Bang created the universe, right? Well, what created the Big Bang? God speaking is the event that caused matter to come forth. Amen. So this is how he does everything. When God speaks, when God sends a word, we know that God's word, the Bible, is God speaking to us, right? And he's communicating to us. But it's more than that. It's much more than that. So when God speaks a word, it is not just communicating. It's not getting a message to another intelligent being. It is the release of power to create. Just feels like I need to pause there and let y'all think on that. When God speaks, when God creates, it is a release of power to create. It's not just words to be understood. When God speaks, power is released to create. So go back to singularity, Big Bang. What did God do? He said, let there be light. And it was so. Power to create was released. The amount of power that created the universe and caused, it's still expanding. Stars, planets, asteroids, everything is still expanding. Again, think of a firework. You know, it keeps going out until it loses all its energy. Well, the universe hasn't lost its energy yet. It's still expanding, and things are still happening. And so it's not just the communication of words for a being of intelligence to understand. It is the release of creative power. And the amount of power that went into the universe is just incalculable. So creating something new in my body, little bit of power, just a little bit, right? The same God that created the universe can create in me new body parts. Ain't nothing for God to make a new heart. Ain't nothing for God to give you new lungs. Ain't nothing for God to make a new brain. Several have testified of visitations to heaven and or angels and talk about there's places in heaven with spare body parts on the shelf waiting for orders to fill. And over my wife, I do call for a new brain. Amen. And if the shelves are stocked, just waiting for somebody to put in an order, you might want to put in an order. Amen. Amen. So God's not just communicating, He's creating when He speaks. And it's how He does everything. Let's go to Hebrews 11:3, please. That's the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. And as far as faith, how important is it? Well, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, right? Faith is nothing more than being convinced that God said something, it's true, and acting accordingly. But it says here in the third verse, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, framed means made, created, built, organized. I have a carpenter's background. We frame up walls, right? So God built. It says next, so that the things which are seen, the visible world that we're accustomed to, you're sitting on a chair, it's made of solid materials, and you trust it to a point to support your body. You know, you were standing a little while ago and you dumped your body right down into that chair without giving thought. I wonder if I'll pass right through it. Is it real? Do I believe that? Do I have faith in that chair? Now, there's some chairs maybe you shouldn't have faith in, but I bet you didn't think about the one that's under you right now. So that material world, the things that are seen, it says, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So it's the Word of God that made visible things out of the invisible. It's the Word of God that made material things out of immaterial things. How does God create something out of nothing? He speaks. He sends a word. Now, it has become something, again, well understood in science that matter, solids, can turn into energy, and energy can turn into solids. If you burn firewood, it turns into energy and a few remnants of the material that was there before. It releases light and heat. There's still discussion, is light a substance or is it an energy? Well, it seems to be both. But anyway, heat is released. Well, what about the other way around? The energy from the sun grows a tree. Energy can turn into solid, and solid turns into energy. And a principle of science is that energy is never lost, it's only converted. It's converted to a solid, and from a solid back. Now, there is a net loss of energy from upon the earth because the atmosphere is not a perfect insulator and blanket, so heat is constantly being radiated from the earth out into space. But enough of it stays that it's warm enough for us to survive. So sunlight is what keeps our earth habitable. And what's happening up there on the sun is nuclear, I guess, fission. Anyway, there are nuclear reactions happening in the sun, and those materials that the sun is made of are reacting with one another and creating an energy that comes across these many millions of miles to the earth and arrives here as glorious sunshine that many times we like in moderation. If it's too much, it's too hot, that's too much, right? But that's physical material on the sun turning into light and energy, transporting itself through space, which, by the way, space is absolute zero in temperature, or very near absolute zero, 470 some degrees below zero, absolute zero. So the heat that we feel that can make deserts 120 degrees on the earth travels millions of miles through space in absolute zero. Well, how come space is not hot? Separate subject. It has to strike something to turn into another form of energy. It travels as radiation wave through space, and it has no heat in it whatsoever until it strikes a solid, and then it turns into heat. Anyway, that's the principles of radiation. But material matter on the sun is coming as energy and strikes and turns back into material matter. Amen. That's the principle I want you to understand. So it's understood in science that energy can produce solids. You may have heard of this a little bit too, that every solid has a sympathetic frequency. In other words, solids have a nucleus with electrons going around on the outside, and those molecules, depending on their temperature, are vibrating. And the more they vibrate, the more heat they create. Well, depending on the composition, you can hit something with a sound wave and excite the molecules and cause it to heat. But anyway, so where was I at? I better pull it back. Now you know how my brain thinks. Way off into the science of things like that. Sympathetic sound waves, that's what I was talking about. So sound is energy and releases energy and creates energy. How do I know that? Well, you ever hear somebody going past your house in the car with the bass turned way up and stuff in your house starts moving? It takes energy to move stuff. Everything, even your body, you feel. You feel all of it. It takes energy. It's shaking your body. Sound. Sound is shaking our body. So what I'm getting at is God speaks a word and sound comes from Him. Sound turns into energy. Energy turns into matter. If God wants to create something, He speaks. And if you're sick in body or injured in body, you need something created. And the way it's going to happen is God is going to speak. Back to our scripture that we looked at here earlier. Again, Psalm 107:20. He sent His word and healed them. Please note, it's past tense. God spoke and the universe started, and it's still ongoing. Does God get up every day and say, let there be light? Does that energy run out and He's got to renew the energy? How many times did God say, let there be light? How many times does He have to say, you are healed? I may need to review it a lot. I may need to review that every day. We fall into a trap of saying, God, what do you say? I mean, God, could I be healed? God, please, I ask you to be healed. He's already said so. He already sent that word. And in His mind, you're already healed. When God wants to do a thing, He sends a word. And what I'm suggesting to you this morning, and if your heart will receive it, faith will rise up in you, that word for you was already sent. And if He already sent it, I don't need Him to send it again. So this is how everything visible is made. So God could speak and there would be healthy tissue where there's diseased tissue. Creative miracles, sometimes we say. How do you get a creative miracle? Well, God's part is that He'll speak and it will materialize. And what we're saying from the word here is He's already spoken. Amen. Hebrews 4:12, let me just remind you of what it says in the first part. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful. Word of God is alive. It's not just a static, he said that, and that's that. Something that's living continues on and on and on and on, and his word is living. So, having spoken, let there be light one time, that word never loses power. It never diminishes. It never ceases. The only way it could cease is if he speaks a new word to stop an old word. God said, let there be, and he never said, stop. Amen. So, if God wants to heal you, what's he going to do? Aside from that, he already did it. What does God have to do to heal you? He has to say a word. If God's going to create something new in you, how's he going to? He's going to say a word. So if you can find that he spoke a word to you concerning your healing, he's made the first move. He's done what is necessary. The power is available to go to work. Amen. Go with me to Matthew 8, verse 5, please. I mean, this is the core of really moving into the life that God created for you, is an understanding that everything is already accomplished and provided. Even if you could say, look at the scriptures that say, by his stripes you were healed. You could say, well, that was dependent on an event, the scourging of Jesus. Okay, if it was dependent on that event, you know that event already took place. So it's already passed, it's already done, it's already completed. Did you know in the scourging of Jesus, your body was provided every healing it could ever need? It is done. It is done. It's already accomplished. Even before you would say, God, I need healing here, it's already provided. It's already done. It's already working, or should I say available to work? Matthew 8, 5, please. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. That would mean a Roman soldier, not a Jewish person, a Roman soldier came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Side note, quick here. There is no greater authority in your life than you. I'm asked, Pastor, would you pray for me from time to time? Yeah. And sometimes I think people believe that my prayers might affect more than their prayers. Not so. There is no greater authority in anyone's life than themselves. That being said, I can agree with you in faith. I can operate and exercise in faith for some things to a measure, but I can't walk in faith for you and you not walk in faith at all. Understanding this, back to my wife as an example, she cannot speak, can't express herself. We keep bringing the word in videos and speaking to her about that. To keep her faith built and encouraged. But in terms of expressing her faith, outwardly, she cannot presently. Her soul's in communion with the Lord, and she may be expressing that just all the time with the Lord. But I'm her husband, and I'm seeking for her healing in addition to her, right? But I know I can't take her place. And so I have sought the Lord. Lord, what are the limits, or how far can I go in seeking healing for my wife? Can I, on behalf of another, come to you in faith? And he said to me, what about the Roman centurion? What about the father with the little girl? And he just quick listed off to me, and we're going to get to it, what about the four crazy friends who lowered down the guy through the roof? I said, oh, okay, I get it. There's an abundance. I think he listed off five to me, just boom, 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 of people coming to the Lord on behalf and or with another. You can do it. And the closer your relationship to them, the more opportunity there is for you. And by the way, this is why if someone considers me their pastor and walks in relationship with me as their pastor, I can do something for them. If I'm just the guy at the church I go to once in a while, and the opinion of me is really just, I can't do for them because I don't have authority in their lives. They've not given me that place. So whatever you get out of a pastor is really up to you. But here we do have an example of one seeking healing on behalf of another. You can do it. So it says here, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Now Jesus volunteers to go to the Roman centurion's place. First of all, that would be Gentile, and the Jews would frown on that. So, you know, maybe that shouldn't be. But Jesus volunteers that. Secondly, most of the people that were healed by the Lord were healed with a touch from Jesus. And that's how the people understood it. And I think Jesus was willing to go along with the flow that everybody was placing faith in and understood that if I can get to Jesus and touch him, if Jesus will lay hands on me, people today could wonder, Lord, how do I get to you to touch you? If you were traveling about and I could press through the crowd like the woman with the issue of blood and touch the hem of your garment, well, I'd be doing that. And of course, it's easier to touch him now than it was then. You can touch him in faith. Amen. But since people were accustomed to that, Jesus just immediately went there. Well, I'll come to your house. I'll heal him. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. He walked in humility. He was holding the Lord in very high esteem. I think understood at least something about Word of God, or Son of God, rather. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. This military man understood that power was released with the speaking of a word. We won't go on here, but Jesus talks, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in all Israel. This is somebody that didn't require the physical presence and touch, understood, all I need is a word. All I need is a word from you. God, all I need is a word. All I need is a word. It makes me think of that moment in that first emergency room when Pastor Sandy went out unconscious. I wasn't fully in the room. They asked me out and so on. I think they did CPR and all of that kind of stuff and went right to scans of her brain and that kind of stuff. I'm standing there. It's dawning on me. She may have just died or is dying or is under threat of death. I just was praying out in the hallway, Lord, what do you say about this? And he said to me, because I wanted a word. I need the word of God. And he said to me, what have I already said? And I said, well, you've been saying to me recently, really, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. John 10:10, you've come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Wouldn't be abundant life for her to stop now and to pass on and so on. And I could recall two or three others. And then the Lord said to me, well, I'm not changing what I said now. Are you? He just sent me back to what he already said. And that was planted in my heart because I took the time to put the word in my heart and have it coming out of my mouth. And so I had something to draw on. I knew what he already said. And he said he's not changing his word. And asked me if I was going to change his word. I said, no, I'm not going to change it either. I believe what you've said. Amen. So here, this Roman centurion understood if God would just release a word, if Jesus would just release a word, he'd be healed. Well, what we're seeing here is that from the beginning, God has already spoken the word. The word is already sent. What does that mean? That means I am already healed. I know that twists the human brain up. What do you mean I'm already healed? Look at me. I'm not healed. I feel awful. No, you're already healed. The word is already sent. It's already an accomplished fact. And there are times when God will quicken a particular scripture to you, and though he sent that word, you become aware of it, and it is a special sent word to you. And that'll happen. God will say things to you. Whenever God wants to create something in you, he's going to speak. Or from the scriptures, as you read it, it pops up and comes alive in you. That's him speaking to you, right? So sometimes this happens. Most of the time, it's only after we seek the Lord. You got to be looking for that word. You got to be open to that word. Let me read to you a quote in a book called Christ the Healer, written by F.F. Bosworth. This book is getting on toward 100 years old, but it is so fresh and right on right now. He says here, getting things from God is like playing checkers. After one person moves, he has nothing to do until the other player moves. Each man moves in his own turn. So when God has provided healing or any other blessing and sent us his word, it's our move before he will move. And if it says in the scripture, God sent his word and healed, God's already moved, it's your turn. God's not going to move for your healing until you move. He made the opening move. And when people find themselves in need of healing and go to praying, God, please heal me. God, we need you to move. God, we need you to do something here. Oh, God, we're waiting on God to do something. You're going to wait a long time because he's already moved and it's your turn. Reading on here, our move is to expect what he promises when we pray. This will cause us to act our faith before we see the healing. The healing comes in the next move, which is God's move. God never moves out of his turn, but he always moves when it is his turn. Now think about that. Any need any person can have, God moves first. What's his first move? He sends his word. And it's there in your Bible, and if you don't take the time to dig it out and find out, learn about what the first move is, you can't make the next move. And God won't do anything until you make your move. Amen. Again, God has sent his word. It's your move. You know, Mark 11:24, there was an allusion to it in that quote from that book. It says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. What is your move? Your move is to believe when you pray. That's your move. Now, in the believing after you've prayed, it may take some time. And that's what confuses people. But if you are convinced of that word, you act on it by receiving that word, you never need that word again. You just refer to it again and again. God, you said, and I thank you for the answer. I thank you it's on the way. I'm full of joy and happiness because I know you heard me, you granted me the request, I received it, I have it. Well, I can't see it. That don't matter. I have it. So our move is to believe and act accordingly. Jesus often asked those seeking healing to act on his word. You know, he smears mud on a man's eyes and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. There's a guy that he says, take up your bed and walk. There's just any number. The lepers, go and show yourself to the priest. So people had to act on the word that he gave them. Now, there are times when God's word is sent, by his stripes you are healed, I receive that, I'm healed. There are times when he may say, now I need you or I want you to go do this. That's what I call a take up your bed and walk moment. And I recently have said, Lord, I'm acting on your word, and if there's a thing that you want or need me to do, if there's a take up my bed and walk moment, you just let me know, we'll do that. Otherwise, we're standing in faith on the word you already spoke. I already know. I already know the outcome of this. Well, how long is it going to take? Well, that part doesn't matter. And if I get too overly anxious about it, it may indicate that I need to refer to earlier statement. When doubts come or try to attach themselves to you, you just go, but God, you said. And it's impossible for you to lie. And if I will follow this out, follow you, this is what will happen. This is what has happened. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. In other words, if you'll believe the word, it's effectively working in you. And some processes take time. Amen. And symptoms can linger and can stay, and you may go through a season of it looks like nothing's happening. Just refer to earlier word, that power's working. That power's working. I tell my wife many times, that power of God's working in you. Whether we see it or not, that power's working in you. You're full of that power working in you. It says in Proverbs 4:20, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So we see here, God speaking that word and you receiving that word is very significant and important, but you're not done. Part of your move is to give attention to the words. To incline your ear, that means keep hearing it. Keep it fresh. Keep it coming. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep reading that word. Keep renewing that word. We could go in a couple of directions here, but the word is planted as a seed, but seeds have to be watered. They have to be refreshed. You stay with it. So if God gives you a word concerning your healing, just incline your ear. Keep it before your eyes. Stick with it. Keep saying it. Keep refreshing that. Keep watering that. For those words are what bring health to all your flesh. So to close up here, our move is to believe God's word. First move, God speaks. He's done it. Second move is yours. What is that move? Your move is to receive and believe that word. First of all, you have to be aware of the word, or you can't receive it. You have to be aware of a word of God to you, or you can't receive it. You had to be aware of the word of God to be saved, and you placed faith in it. And most people, even though they don't feel saved, and they spend years on this earth, and not everything good happens, they don't tend to doubt, am I really saved? I don't feel like I'm saved. Am I saved? Is it working? I know I'm promised heaven, but this don't feel like heaven. Well, why not be able to do that in every area, every arena? Well, I prayed and I received Jesus. I'm born again. I'm saved. Well, I prayed and received the word and I'm healed, even if I don't feel it. But our move is to act on that word and to continue to give attention to the word that was sent. And again, he has already sent his word and healed you. And a seed is always the potential, not the end product. Well, if God was going to heal me, he'd just reach down and just heal me. No, he gives you a word. A word's a seed, and we have to grow it. We have to water it. We have to allow it to be planted. When you receive the word, it's a planting. But after it's planted, we're not done. And we'll talk about that some more. I saw very clearly in my reading my Bible this morning from Luke chapter 5, the man that was lowered down through the roof where the people sought him. In the house was a gathering of Pharisees and teachers of the law, and there was such a crowd that they couldn't bring their paralyzed friend into Jesus. So they went on the roof, tore off tiles, lowered him down. It says in there, in that early verses in Luke 5, that the power of the Lord was present to heal. Power is only evident when a word's been spoken. That power to heal was in the room, present, but only one got that power. Did you know in every church gathering, because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. In every church gathering, the power of the Lord is present to heal. It's because he's already released his word. And if anybody in every church this morning would place faith and make their move on that word that he's spoken, that power would begin to work in their body. We sometimes think we need a special kind of service, a special kind of preaching and teaching. All we need is faith to act on the word. And the effect of teaching and preaching the word, Jesus had to do it too. Go about in a circuit, teaching, preaching, healing the sick. He couldn't heal the sick if he wasn't teaching and preaching. So that word has to be declared, received, acted on. The first move is God's word's declared. After that, it's up to you. So same thing happens everywhere. The word's been spoken. And if you'll receive it and act on it, you'll make your move. Next move is God's. And you'll, as it says in Mark 11, you'll have whatsoever you say. When you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have whatsoever you say. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. Now, making your move may be over a process of time. You'll receive like that when you truly receive. And you may walk that out over a process of time. That may be true. But so many people think they're waiting on God to move. He can't move out of turn. So in digging these things up here this week, I've said, Lord, it's my move, isn't it? And I'm still making my move. Started the moment that she was injured, and I'm still making that move. To point a finger at God and say, God, when are you going to? No. As soon as it's his turn, he'll take it. Amen. It's not God, it's me. So I'm making my move, continuing my move. And here's the message to you. God's already moved in whatever you need. He's already spoken. And if you aren't familiar with what he said on the subject, find out. It's your move. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you and thank you for this word. And I know by these declarations, it's pointing things out from the word of God, that all the power that anyone needs to affect their life, whether it be in body or situation, Father, all the power is there. And if they'll make a move based on your word, they shall have whatsoever they say. Father, I thank you for these things. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.